Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard out here in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to go to the East Coast, bring in Josh Applebaum out there in Boston. Josh, how are you?
Pritch, happy Tuesday. Great to be with you today. We got no action, so I'm going through withdrawal, Pritch. I got no games tonight to bet on. However, today is a great day to look ahead lines and games that are moving for this Thanksgiving Day, as well as this weekend, college football. But most of all, Pritch, we got college basketball returning, so I'm super excited to talk to Wes Reynolds later in the show. We have our VSiN betting guide that just came out, which is just incredible. 452 pages, only $10 to get a huge leg up on your handicapping this year. But Pritch, big day, no games, but a lot of homework that we can do today, hopefully benefit us later in the week once we can get down on some games.
Definitely. Homework is always useful. We can use some, right, from time to time. I'm looking at tips for betting college basketball. Josh Applebaum, you're talking about the College Hoops Betting Guide. Excited to go through that. And you mentioned Wes Reynolds. He's going to be on in hour number two. So cannot wait to dive in on all this information.
Yeah, no, we got so much to talk about. And I think this year could be very unpredictable. Obviously, I'm already starting to see some games that are getting postponed. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to deal with this like the way we deal with college football. But I think we just got to roll with it. I think we got to embrace it. And I think we got to really lean on the homework that we do, because if you put the time into looking at these conferences, like, got to give a shout out to my guy, Greg Hoops Peterson, who's gone through every single school, every single conference. And if you can have this to lean on, I think it makes, you know, going with the swings of unpredictability with postponements, cancellations, it'll make it that much easier if you have a foundation to lean on. So I got some tips hopefully we can share later in the show, Pritch, but I'm excited. College hoops, one of my favorite sports to bet on and to cover the market. So I'm looking forward to another big year this year.
Hey, I love betting tips. You know, I can use them all too. So my participation in college basketball has been just with the March Madness, right? I haven't really gone through an entire season betting on college basketball. So I am looking forward to that. But let's look back to the game last night, Monday Night Football, the Rams and the Buccaneers. Is it a thing now, fading Tom Brady? Is that what's taking place here? Tom Brady, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, closed at -4, total 47.5. I did have a friend who had the over, also participated in game with the Rams. Your thoughts on this game, Josh?
Yeah, this line was really intriguing to me, Pritch, and maybe you're right. Tom Brady, I mean, throwing those deep balls that are really not even close, getting intercepted. Obviously, if you laid the points with the Bucs, that was very disconcerting to see Brady perform that way. But I don't think you put all the problems on him. I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. But one thing I will say, Pritch, was interesting to me about the game yesterday is that early on, you did have a lot of respected money coming down on the Bucs. So the Bucs open around -3.5. At one point, they got all the way up to -4.5, and it wasn't a huge public play. You had almost a split ticket count, slight lean to Tampa. You do remember, you know, the Rams coming off that big win against Seattle as a favorite there, -3 covering. But what's interesting to me is that, and I think I want to give a shout out too to Bill Krakenberger, who was on Gil Alexander's show recently, and he was talking about late money coming in. And we talk about it all the time, Pritch. Late money on game day, the last hour, the last 20 minutes, it's really important because that's when a lot of your big, big, sharp wise guys come in. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that line go from Bucks -4.5 down to -4, I said, okay, we're starting to see some Rams money come in. So if you had gotten down on Tampa Bay early, I think that's what really scared you. But kind of my takeaway from that, Pritch, is that even with that late move, really the Rams in this spot have done very well this year, just dogs in general. I mean, if you look at the stats now, primetime dogs has been just, you know, death taxes and primetime dogs this year, because Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, primetime dogs are now 22-12 ATS this year, 65%. Rams also were able to win in that system. We like short road dogs +6 or less. Those are now 39-24 ATS this year, 62%. So to me, that was a great game to watch. You know, depending on which side of the side of the spread you were on. But Pritch, that was a sweaty over there. There's actually some smart money on that under, because it actually fell 48.5 down to 47.5. And primetime unders have done well. But shout out to your buddy, because it looked like that was going to sail over. Mm-hmm. Then there's a lack of scoring, and then late scoring sent it over. So nice hit for your buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. And following that late money, like you mentioned, some late money right there towards the Rams. You know what's interesting about that primetime dog? Tom Brady's been involved with four of those now. You know, when you think about it, right? I mean, I don't know if it was a trend that anybody wanted to jump on, but maybe some of the sharp money realized that as they approached that game.
Yeah, I totally agree, Pritch. And to me, you know, what kind of really threw me off a little bit is that, you know, you had that early move and it was pretty consistent toward Tampa Bay. to me, the 3.5 going to the 4.5, that was definitely meaningful. But again, that late move to the Rams, saw that line fall. And I did see a stat too. You know, Tom Brady and the Bucks were 6-2 before Antonio Brown. Now they're 1-2 with AB. So maybe that's not a correlative thing. But I think with Tampa Bay, you really want to fall into this, oh, so many weapons, they can spread it out, they can score a ton of points, they got a ferocious defense. But I'm, Pritch, I'm seeing just undisciplined play. You got Shaq Barrett, some of these guys jumping off sides, giving a first down. You know, that type of team, I don't know. I think what I'm realizing as a Patriots fan, a disgruntled Patriots fan, is that I think Brady misses Belichick and Belichick misses Brady. So maybe that's one takeaway from last night.
Yeah, that's very clear. Brady's trying to do too much too, trying to fit in with the new offense, all these weapons, maybe too many weapons. And then defensively trying to do too much too. Maybe the pressure of just trying to get to the playoffs and the Super Bowl is right there for Tampa. They have to iron some things out clearly. What about the Rams though, Josh Applebaum? This team is surging right now. They have a top flight defense. And then on top of that, this offense hitting on all cylinders as well, especially last night.
Yeah, the Rams have really been impressive, and maybe I undersold the Rams a little bit too, because a lot of the stats that I was looking at going to last night is that, you know, really their wins were all coming from the NFC East, the Bears. You kind of said to yourself, you know, have they played quality opponents? Obviously, they really showed up last night as a primetime dog, winning outright. I think they're on plus 180 on the money line. But I think McVay just, he's a good coach. You're playing good defense. With Goff, though, I think the question is still Goff. I mean, they had that game pretty much in hand. Then he starts fumbling it. Mm-hmm. He's turning the ball over. I think your question is, can Goff be the guy to really lead that team? But I think almost similar to Baker Mayfield, if Goff isn't your best player, I think you're in good shape. Like with the Browns, you know, if you need Mayfield to throw the ball up and down, you need Goff to throw the ball up and down. Although I will say, you know, those wide receivers, Pritch, you would have been happy last night. They both had what, 10 catches, 140 yards, Cooper Kupp, as well as Woods. But I would say, you know, your one question is Goff. And Pritch, what do you think? Is he making strides, or is he maybe the player that could hold them back? What's your overall take on the Rams?
I like Goff. I like his weapons in particular. A little concerned about the offensive line with Whitworth kind of banged up there, but he'll be back. But no, I think McVay will figure it out. I was waiting for this to happen too, Josh, because I think defensively they have grown, and certainly to have some superstars on that side of the ball for the Rams. I actually like them to be one of those surprise teams, certainly to compete with not only inside that division, but within the conference. A brutal road trip schedule this year, multiple trips to the East Coast. They navigated that okay, and now the schedule shapes up for the Rams. And when you have the offense clicking like this, Cooper Kupp underrated, Woods underrated, and then Goff, if he can be consistent with the running game, I think the Rams are going to be okay.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Pritch. And, you know, kind of what I'm looking at here is, you know, you always look at teams who play in really tough divisions. It makes them more battle-tested. I think, you know, kind of thinking about college basketball right now with the season opening tomorrow, I always look at teams that, you know, March Madness time that played in a really tough conference where they were tested and they played high competition and they were used to these really tight games here. So you look at the Rams, I think it's an advantage to them to play, you know, twice a year, the Cardinals, the Niners, the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. But I will say one game I'm looking at for this weekend, Pritch, you know, I'm already looking at these Sunday games here. We'll talk about the Thanksgiving games. But let me just throw this one at you. San Fran is going to the Rams. And this is a situation here where early on you saw the Rams, they open up as a 7-point favorite. At one point, the line got down to 6.5. It then shot up. I woke up this morning, it was up to 7.5. But quickly, that plus 7.5 with the 49ers got scooped up. It's now back down to 7. So I think what's intriguing to me here is this is a schedule situation that has come through the last couple times I've seen it take place. When you have a team off a bye, like the Niners, against a team that's on a short week who played Monday night. You saw this situation, almost a carbon copy here, with the Cowboys last week, you know, beating the Vikings. They were off a bye. Vikings are off a Monday night. And then, Pritch, about a month ago, I would say, remember when the Rams went to the Miami Dolphins? The Dolphins are off a bye. Yep. And then the Rams, short week. So I'm keeping an eye on the Niners. If you jumped on the hook here, I'm seeing a couple books that are still, you know, getting down to 7, but maybe hanging out the hook there, the plus 7.5. I know San Fran is banged up. Maybe they'll get some guys back here. You really don't trust Nick Mullins. You'd much rather have Jimmy G, but that schedule spot is intriguing to me. and it would match with San Fran here. So, Pritch, am I crazy or any reason to think San Fran can keep this one close?
You're not crazy. I actually cashed a ticket with the Cowboys on it. So you're not crazy. I thought I was crazy at the time, but when you're cashing tickets, you're not crazy. Not at all. I think that's a good play. I think that's a smart angle right there, Josh Applebaum. Let's go on to Baltimore because they are participating Thursday. They have the COVID news, the COVID concerns, up to 10 positive COVID-19 tests within the Ravens organization, including coaches, support staff, and players. A short week. I have a line of Pittsburgh -4. What is the market telling you right now? I mean, we're still a couple of days away from this game.
Yeah, Pritch, still a couple of days away, and obviously there's a lot swirling here with uncertainty. You saw Dobbins and Ingram, and I saw another tweet. Looks like it might be expanding, unfortunately, with a lot of tests here with not only players but some coaching staff. So maybe the game even gets postponed. I hope not. But what we're seeing here is, to me, Pritch, before all this COVID stuff took place, I really like the Ravens, and I still think there's some value on the Ravens because you look at Pittsburgh, undefeated, just rolled against Jacksonville. Baltimore is really struggling here. They've lost two in a row. They've lost three of their last four. Tennessee was kind of a sharp play, +7 down to +6. They won outright there against Baltimore last week. But this is going to be your primetime game on Thanksgiving night. So 8:00 game, primetime spot. Everybody's taking Pittsburgh. Now, initially, this was kind of a sharp reverse line move, line freeze to the Ravens, because at one point this line was 3.5 and it was trending down to 3. But then the news of all this COVID stuff kind of hit the market. The line all the way got all the way up to 4.5. But there was some buyback on Ravens +4.5 down to 4. So I think that's intriguing. If you're looking at the Ravens, I think you really need that hook here. But the Ravens would match a couple things, you know. Road division dog, also the kind of a revenge spot. Remember a few months ago or a month ago, Steelers were they +4 at Baltimore and won that game outright. Mm-hmm. So revenge angle, divisional dog. It's tough beating these teams twice in the same division. So I'm keeping an eye on Baltimore. I don't like the COVID stuff, but a lot of times buying low on bad news there, you can take advantage of inflated lines here. So Pritch, what's your take here? Are the Steelers just a steam engine you don't want to get in front of, or do you think the Ravens can scratch and claw and maybe lose by 3?
I like what you said. You know, two teams highly familiar with each other. Those teams typically, or those type of games or situations, are typically close ones. So I'm intrigued by your thoughts on this number right now, keeping an eye on it as well as the news. I don't think Pittsburgh has a dominating running game. So Big Ben's going to be asked to do so much more. Now, defensively for the Ravens, you should be able to come up with a game plan for that situation out there, right? So I think the onus will go to the Ravens' offensive side. Can they generate enough points? Can they create opportunities to score? I think that's a challenge right now for Ravens.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. And I think one of the reasons why me as a contrarian bettor who likes these gross plays, you know, that makes me almost like them more. But it's true, Pritch. I will say, too, this reminds me a little bit of the Raiders and the Chiefs in a similar way in terms of a, you know, primetime game. There are COVID concerns with the Raiders, divisional game. You're getting points, a little bit of buyback. So I'd keep an eye out there. To me, the question is, do we see all these 4.5s get scooped up and fall to 4? If so, that would be an indication that you have a lot of Baltimore money coming in here, grabbing the hook. But Pritch, one just kind of theme of all these Thanksgiving Day games, and we'll go through all of them today, mm-hmm. is that you have three contrarian plays, you have three buy low, sell high plays. Like if you look at Houston, Detroit, Houston off a win, Detroit off a loss, all these numbers are around the key number of 3. Washington, Dallas is a little different, but I'm seeing some value here on Washington +3. It may fall to 2.5. But overall, some contrarian plays on Turkey Day. So don't eat too much turkey and fall asleep on the couch, Pritch, because we got a lot of games here on Thursday.
Well, I definitely will fall asleep because I always eat too much turkey. So that will happen. What about that game, though? Texans and the Lions, both coaches are not going to be back. I don't think Patricia's going to be back here. And then reports to Romeo Crennel won't be considered for a head coaching job. So, I mean, the players, they know that. They understand that. I don't know what to make of this game right now with the Texans -3 on the road.
Yeah, so to me, just in terms of cover up the names of the teams, where's the line movement? Where does each team stand, you know, in terms of recent performance and public perception? I think this does bode well for the Lions for one reason. You know, Houston's off a huge win against the Patriots. 2.5-point dog, they won outright. Detroit is off a terrible loss mm-hmm. against Carolina. They lost 20-0. So right off the bat, if you can kind of buy low on a team that performed poorly against a team that played great, that creates some public perception that you can take advantage of. Remember, the odds makers are setting these lines knowing that, you know, probably every average Joe will take Houston in this spot. So what I've seen here is, you know, Houston, they open around -2.5. They've gotten to 3. 2/3 of bets, if not more, on the Texans here. But what I like about the Detroit Lions plus three is that the plus three is around minus 115 across the board. So tells me this is not going to 3.5. If anything, it may fall back down to 2.5. You know, my one concern with Detroit is a lot of injuries here, Pritch. You know, they lost Swift, Galladay, Danny Amendola. Stafford has a thumb issue. So I'd love for some of those guys to be back. But to me, Detroit, contrarian, buy low, sell high, getting a key number of plus three, maybe it closes 2.5. I'm looking at the Lions here on an early Turkey Day game.
Okay, I was going to ask you, do you have a system for the Lions on Thanksgiving Day? Is there one?
I got to look it up. I don't have anything. I will say, you know, Pritch, what is funny is that historically favorites do pretty well mm-hmm. on Thanksgiving Day. So that's something to keep an eye out for. I think last year they're only 1-2, something like that. But historically I have seen favorites do okay. So that's something to keep in mind as we go to Thursday.
You're right. As much as the Lions play on Thanksgiving Day, I mean, just about every year, right? I thought there could be something that existed in terms of an angle there for the Lions. And maybe you would know about that.
I'm actually embarrassed. I don't have a number with you right now, Pritch. But guess what? I'll find that for you because we got to dig that up. There may be something there.
Yeah, look forward to that. Coming up on the show, Wes Reynolds will be in hour number two. As we mentioned, the College Hoops Betting Guide has dropped in. Cannot wait to get his insights on how to navigate through that, as well as college basketball season. Up next, you could have had this MVP candidate at plus money. Things have changed, but is there a long shot that could give him a run for his money? The NFL MVP voting and odds is coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. College and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip, be sure to have your state-issued ID, and open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. With state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week, you're going to love this app. VSiN is also reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And Josh, MVP odds, National Football League MVP odds, they have changed. Mahomes is now minus odds. You could have caught him with plus situation there, but Mahomes now minus 118. Russell Wilson plus 350. Aaron Rodgers plus 550. Kyler Murray 12-1 here. Maybe a long shot. I don't know if it's such a long shot. 20-1, Ben Roethlisberger with an undefeated season right now.
Yeah, a lot of good names here, Pritch. And obviously, I think the biggest thing is, like, you know, why didn't we? It was a no-brainer at the beginning. We should have maybe jumped on it earlier. And we did highlight it, but you talked about Patrick Mahomes here, Pritch. You know, Mahomes is now, I would say minus 118 is really not a terrible number. Obviously, you're getting the worst of it after it's moved so much, but you may end up seeing this go even further, you know, minus 150, minus 200. I think with Mahomes, you know, I'm just going through their schedule, Pritch. I'm looking at his stats. You look at Patrick Mahomes, he's got the second highest quarterback rating in the league, 114.3, 27 touchdowns, only two interceptions. That's really, really just remarkable here. And I'm looking at the schedule as they move forward, Pritch. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they have a bit of a tough game here at Tampa Bay. They went from a -3 favorite up to -3.5 to face Tom Brady. Immediately, you had Sharps lay the -3 there with the Chiefs. But really, then Denver, Miami, New Orleans, Atlanta, Los Angeles. I mean, that's going to be a bit of a tough game there at New Orleans. Maybe they drop that one. They could end up, you know, 14-2. He could put up some ridiculous numbers with very few interceptions. So I think I don't even think that's a bad number, minus 118. The other one that jumped out to me was Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I look at Rodgers. He does lead the league in quarterback rating right now. So he's at 115.8, 29 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Now, I think, what is he, plus 550, Pritch? That's really not a bad number, in my opinion. And then, sadly for our girl Steph, she's got Derrick Henry 40-1, and this is a quarterback award, so Henry's great, but I would lean on those QBs. But what's your take here, Pritch? You think there's still value on Mahomes, or anyone else jump out to you here?
Well, Mahomes does have value. I mean, the guy is, like I said, I've said this before, he's a unicorn. I mean, you just don't see these kind of players, right? And but he's only got 27 touchdowns. You know, you look at Big Ben, he's got 24 touchdowns, I believe, right? 24 touchdowns. Mahomes just played on Sunday Night Football against the Raiders. Everybody saw that game, spectacular game. He had a great comeback to get that victory. But what if Big Ben on Thursday night shows out against Baltimore? What if he puts up 3 touchdowns? Then all of a sudden at 20-1, I don't know if you miss your opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely higher here. But Pritch, I kind of like that angle also. What do you think happens here if Pittsburgh goes undefeated? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. Then you have the whole story of also, you know, comeback player of the year award, you know, a guy who was out. I mean, it's really shaping up to be a big story here with Big Ben coming back. And, you know, you saw Pittsburgh last year really battled with some the Duckster and Mason Rudolph and all these quarterbacks who were really not very subpar, but they battled. And, you know, what were they, 8-8 last year? Now you add Big Ben, they're rolling. Do they go undefeated? Does he end up, you know, have a QB rating of, you know, about 105, something like that? Mm-hmm. So I'm with you, Pritch. I maybe disregarded Big Ben, but 20-1, he's got a big story behind him. I think it's a good call there.
Yeah, you look at Mahomes too, offensively. A lot of things have to happen there. Watching that Raiders game, the Raiders may be the only team that has the formula to contend with Kansas City. We'll see this week. But certainly the way that the Steelers are playing right now, the COVID concerns out there in Baltimore too. I just wonder what type of impact that would have if Big Ben has a huge game.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, he's got so many weapons to throw to here. And again, I'm a Pats fan, so whoever's picking those wide receivers in the draft for Pittsburgh, you send them over to New England. We could use some help here. But I agree with you, Pritch. I think that's a great call. And again, if they're undefeated, hey, how can you argue against that? You know, they were struggling without him. Now you plug him in. Look at what a difference that makes. And really, isn't that the whole point of the award? Most valuable? Maybe not the best, but the most valuable. Take him out there 500, put him in, maybe they go undefeated. So great call, Pritch, 20-1.
Yeah, because as Steph pointed out, I mean, plus odds here before Sunday Night Football, now after everybody watched that game, now minus odds at minus 118 for Mahomes. So I just think there's an opportunity for Big Ben as well, especially if they do have an undefeated season. I mean, you're thinking about their most difficult game coming up against Baltimore. Schedule kind of gets easy after that. Can one more key decision in the NBA change NBA title odds? Josh and I will talk about that next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. College Hoops Betting Guide is out today, and now is the perfect time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get this massive, in-depth guide to all the teams, conferences, and impact players for this unique college basketball season. The guide has predictions, insights, stats, and research from all our VSiN basketball experts. Be sure to get the guide before the first games tip off this week. Get the Hoops Betting Guide plus everything VSiN has to offer every day of the basketball season and all year round at a 25% savings right now. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. Josh, you're looking at NBA free agency key decisions still in front of us. But one, I think, affects you and your fandom a little bit. Gordon Hayward goes down to Charlotte. Your thoughts on Hayward to the Hornets?
Yeah, so I think, you know, as a Celtics fan, number one, I'm definitely happy that signing Jason Tatum to a long-term extension. I think making him the face of the franchise moving forward, I think he's the guy you want to build around. And I do like the idea of, you know, Tatum and Brown. Let's see how far they can take the Celtics. I was a big fan of the Nesmith draft pick as well. You know, okay. I think the Celtics needed a sharpshooter. So you plug him in. If you can hit some threes, I think that definitely benefits them. But I got to say, especially, you know, me, Pritch, I watch a lot of talk radio, and I'm, you know, born and raised in Boston. And I got to say, Danny Ainge is getting a lot of criticism for the way he handled that. Because I think what you're really upset is, if you're a Celtics fan, is having Gordon Hayward leave and getting nothing in return. I think that really hurts a lot. And I also worry there's a public perception with the Celtics that, you know, Al Horford left, got nothing in return. You know, Kyrie wanted to leave. Gordon Hayward wanted to leave. So I think it's a smart decision to build around these young guys. But with Hayward, I think Danny Ainge, he kind of played a game of chicken. I think maybe he held out for too much. I mean, there was a rumor there, maybe Gordon Hayward in a sign and trade to the Pacers. And then obviously Hayward goes to the Hornets, which you weren't expecting at all. Celtics get nothing in return. So Celtics are still 14-1. I like them long term. But if anything, you know, I don't think Jeff Teague and who else, adding Tristan Thompson, the Kardashians coming to Boston, Rich. to me, that doesn't move the needle too much here. So it was just not a good sign that you let Hayward go for nothing in return.
And they tried to trade Marcus Smart. I think you had that for us, as well as you sent me a text that they drafted my brother from another mother. Pritchard is out there now.
Peyton Pritchard. Brad Wanamaker's out. Pritchard is in. And I think he's a Danny Ainge type guy, a guy who, you know, a 4-year college player, good point guard, you know, kind of a plug and play guy back up here. So that was interesting, Pritchard. I thought you guys were related. You're not related, Pritchard?
Brother from another mother, Josh Applebaum. Current NBA title odds, though. I mean, the Lakers plus 300, the Nets plus 500, Bucks at plus 550. Still waiting for that Giannis decision. They're not going to trade him, though. That's not going to happen. So Giannis one more year up there with Milwaukee. Clippers plus 650. How about Montrezl Harrell to the Lakers, in addition to the trade that they had for Schroeder, as they lose Rajon Rondo as well?
Yeah, you know, Pritch, looking at these odds here, I think the Lakers, until they get, you know, dethroned here, they're going to be tough to beat. I mean, the one thing I would say is what's going on with Anthony Davis? That's a little questionable to me. You're not hearing a lot about, you know, what still hasn't been signed here. He wanted to test the waters. I mean, obviously, I don't think Lakers fans are freaking out. Maybe you're just finalizing, you know, crossing the I's and, or, you know, whatever that phrase is, dotting the T's, whatever. But why hasn't he been signed? That's a little intriguing to me. But I do like the moves that they made, adding Harrell, adding Marc Gasol, a veteran who can come off the bench and plug and play. And also Schroeder, adding him on that spot too. So you really only lose Avery Bradley. I think until the Lakers get beat, to me, Pritch, and as long as they can bring back Anthony Davis, plus 300, maybe it fluctuates a little bit here and there. The Lakers are still the team to beat, in my opinion.
Right, and that's the key decision. So AD, what happens to the NBA title odds? You know, you have the Lakers at plus 300. Do they move once AD signs? And then Serge Ibaka teaming back up with Kawhi Leonard out there with the Clippers. They're right now at plus 650. Do their odds change at all?
Yeah, I think that's important too. And, you know, with the Clippers, I don't know. I'm not as big on the Clippers. They have a new coach, obviously, Ty Lue. And, you know, you did see some guys leave. You know, I think Harrell, some bad blood there. They didn't really want to sign him. I don't know. I don't really love what I'm hearing from just the Clippers overall. I think they may really miss Doc Rivers in that situation there. One team I will throw at you, Pritch, looking at the Warriors, you know, I think the Warriors are flying under the radar. They're 10-1 here. You know, they, I think, were like 7-1 right before that really unfortunate news about Klay Thompson getting injured here. But they draft Weissman number one to plug and play at center. They had, I think, an underrated trade to get Kelly Oubre to add to that lineup. They still have Wiggins. They're getting back Steph Curry. You still have a good coach in Kerr. So I'm looking at the Warriors here, 10-1, saying maybe they're flying under the radar a little bit here, Pritch.
It's possible. I mean, it really is. You look at the Bucks at plus 550, not really enamored with the moves that they made. From a free agency standpoint, Rondo to the Hawks, not moving the needle there at all. Boogie Cousins, though, to the Rockets. You know, you have up in the air with Westbrook and Harden wants to be traded, certainly, but we'll have to wait and find out about that. But Cousins to the Rockets, does that help Houston at all?
Yeah, it might. I mean, obviously, we'll have to wait and see. To me, it's all about what happens with Harden and Westbrook. I mean, they both requested a trade. Do they come back? You have a new coach there, a young coach. You know, Cousins, we'll see. It's funny. They were all in on the D'Antoni, you know, small ball. Everyone under 6'8 here. Now they're adding some big guys, which is intriguing. But Pritch, let me throw this one at you too. the Miami Heat. I think they're not getting really much respect here. Okay. They're 16-1. This is a team that really made a huge leap last year. I think they got a good mix of veterans and young guys. You're now going to get Tyler Hero in year two, you know, picking up Avery Bradley, even though they missed Jay Crowder. He left. Bradley's a lockdown defender. And I just think that's the sort of team with going through what they went through in the bubble, shocking a lot of people. I'm not hearing much about the Heat, but you add another year of Miami, of this team meshing, and I think the program that Pat Riley really has installed there with Spoelstra, 16-1. I don't know if they win the title, but can they get you into the Final Four and maybe have a hedging opportunity? The Heat are intriguing to me in the East.
They are intriguing, certainly, definitely intriguing. Getting some news here, Brandon Ingram signs a $158 million max deal with the Pelicans for 5 years. About that, that's just breaking news here.
Intriguing, yeah, mm-hmm. And I kind of like what the Pelicans have been doing. You know, getting Steven Adams mm-hmm. at center. They made a lot of moves. It's hard to even keep track of them, Pritch. I think Bledsoe, and you know, hey, that they're going to have a whole different outlook here. But we're going to hopefully, as we get deeper and closer to the NBA season, it's only about a month away, Pritch. You know, we can look at win totals, we can look at futures odds, rookie of the year odds. I think this is all coming down the pike here. So an exciting time to be tracking the NBA and getting ready to bet on.
Right, can't wait. The Dallas Mavs too. Trey Burke right there, but they have a good team. Looking forward to the Mavs. Not that active. I remember when they were active and free agency, and that was a circus. But I think the Mavs figuring that they have a pretty decent team, so I cannot wait to participate too with the NBA as well as college hoops, as the college hoops guide drops only $10 right now. Great value out there if anybody wants to pick that up. Also, Russ Reynolds on the show in hour number two to help us navigate through that guide as well. Up next, we got college football playoff rankings. Where do you have the rankings? Certainly Alabama number one. What about everybody else in college football? That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on any Thanksgiving Day football game. If a touchdown is scored in any of the games played that day, you win. Sign up and use bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this offer. It's promo code VSIN100 to win $100 if a touchdown is scored on Thanksgiving. Must be at least 21 years old, located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. And Josh, college football playoff rankings will be revealed later. Alabama leading the way there, minus 170, probably going to be number one. How do you have everybody else after that, though? Because I think it gets tricky after Alabama.
Yeah, this is a great debate here. And I will say, Pritch, hopefully we get to a point where maybe we have eight instead of four. I think that would just really cause a lot of intrigue. I would love to get your take on that. Just more high profile games to bet on for us in the betting community here. But as I'm looking at this, you know, I agree with you. Alabama is pretty odds on favorite here, minus 170 national championship odds as the favorite to win it all. But then, you know, who are your next three teams? You know, the way I'm looking at it, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, you know, I think that's probably your maybe consensus here, but you can make a case for a lot of these other teams. I mean, look at Florida. Florida is the team to me that what else do they need to do? I mean, they're just rolling. It seems like every game. I saw a tweet that compared actually Kyle Trask, his first seven games of the year, statistically compared to Joe Burrow's first seven games of the year when he really had one of the best college football seasons ever for a quarterback, and Trask is right there with him. So Florida is a team that maybe is the odd team out here. Obviously, they'll get a high profile bowl game. But yeah, looking at Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, that's really where I would lean, Pritch. But what's your take? There's definitely a lot of teams that are going to get left out that maybe shouldn't.
National championship odds, courtesy of BetMGM. You know, Clemson at plus 300 gets interesting because they're missing games now. COVID, certainly Trevor Lawrence has not played in quite a while. We will wait and see there what happens with Clemson. Alabama chugging along, certainly. Ohio State gets tricky, too, because of Indiana. We just saw them play plus 225. Maybe they can get to a situation from a national championship standpoint. So we are talking about these national championship odds here. Notre Dame at 16-1. Maybe they have a track to the college football playoff in terms of getting to that championship game as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what comes to mind with me when you talk about Clemson is that, you know, for a long time they were the number one team, and really Trevor Lawrence was really the best guy in college football. Then obviously the unfortunate situation with COVID hit. So what I'm looking at is Clemson almost a buy low situation here, because really it was that loss at Notre Dame, that crazy game where, what was it, Notre Dame, they cashed like +5 in that spot. Mm-hmm. And that really having that one loss, you know, no longer an undefeated record for Clemson, that dropped them down a couple notches here. But you know, look at the rest of their schedule: Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech. They'll win both of those, you know, maybe handily, and they'll have one loss going into it. At plus 300, maybe the true odds should be closer to plus 200. I just like the fact that because of that loss, maybe Dabo Swinney, he uses that as motivation, and they've already suffered defeat. Maybe they can use that to their advantage down the road. Maybe Clemson is being underrated, and you can take advantage of that loss to get a better number moving forward.
Any love for BYU from your standpoint? I don't know about the committee. I don't know for the first college football playoff rankings if we'll see BYU with a position to make some noise with the national title situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately for BYU, I just think, you know, they're not in one of those big conferences. I think that people probably hold that against them. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you one thing, Pritch. I bet on BYU a couple times, laid the wood with them at Boise. They rolled for me. So personally, I'm a big BYU fan, especially with my Patriots. You know, do they draft that quarterback early? Maybe that's something to look out for. But definitely a great team. But I think they're hurt by the fact that kind of they're not in a big conference that gets the spotlight. Maybe their level of competition is a little bit lower, but definitely a great team to watch and great team to bet on thus far this season.
Yeah, that's the risk when you go independent. You know, I think you have to schedule strong. Impossible to do that this year, though, during a COVID situation, a pandemic. I think there was some reports that they might try to schedule a game against Washington. That didn't happen. So BYU's trying to increase their profile. Maybe too late, though.
Yeah, I think so. And you know what I would love, again, we mentioned it, Pritch, I would love 8 teams here. And then think mm-hmm. of it this way, maybe a 1 plays an 8. You have the first game, you know, Alabama against, I don't know, BYU or Northwestern. Then you have Ohio State against maybe Cincinnati. I would love to see a couple more of these teams get in, and wouldn't that just be incredible? I mean, having some of those matchups, I don't know, maybe the first 2 teams get a bye, but that would be just fantastic theater. And give shots to schools like, you know, Cincinnati and Northwestern, BYU, who have just done great and really exceed expectations, give them an opportunity to maybe have a huge upset, maybe pull off the improbable.
No, I like it. And this would be the year to do it. Expand the playoffs. Everybody else has. Baseball has. National Football League has, which you would think would never happen. They even have a contingency to go to 8 teams per side in the National Football League. So why not do it if you're the NCAA? How about Doug Peterson says he will not bench Carson Wentz, shifting over back to the National Football League here, because they are reeling, though. I mean, this offense cannot generate points. A lot of people are discouraged about Carson Wentz on top of that. Doug Peterson, though, staying firm, he will not bench Wentz for his football team.
Yeah, I think probably that's the move they have to make. I mean, they really made a decision there with Wentz over Nick Foles. And, you know, I'm one of those disgruntled fans here too, Pritch, because Michael Lombardi and I were both on the Eagles this past weekend. They were +3.5 down to +2.5. Really contrarian reverse line move, and they do not cover that number. So, but I will say one thing, Pritch. Look at this Monday Night Football game. Mm-hmm. This is shaping up to be, as of now, one of the most lopsided public games of the season. You have Seattle, who the public is just absolutely running as fast as they can to the window at the South Point to go bet and lay the points here with the Seahawks. But this is going to be a primetime game. You know, the Seahawks open around -5, -5.5. What I'm looking out for is if this gets to +6, I think the Eagles +6 will be such a rare, you know, primetime dog. We don't know how well they're doing this year, but one of the most lopsided plays where the books will have so much money on Seattle that if you like going contrarian and you like buying low and all these things we talk about as a contrarian-minded bettor, the Eagles will have maybe the best contrarian value of any team all season if they're plus six at home with almost 9 out of 10 bets laying it with Seattle. So am I confident they'll cover that number, Pritch? Absolutely not. But as a data-minded bettor, Eagles plus six with no one on earth taking them, except wise guys like me and you, that has a lot of value on Monday night.
I was wise on the Broncos because I had that situation with the Dolphins. The public really all over the Dolphins right there. Now, unknowingly, while I was betting the Broncos, I guess I was contrarian right there.
No, that is a heck of a pick there, Pritch. You know, that's great. And really, the funny thing you mentioned that is it's been really up and down. You know, the first we talk about all the time, first 9 weeks of the season, dogs rolled 57% mm-hmm. ATS. Then you had week 10 where favorites really, really crushed it. And then really it was a great regression last week where tons of contrarian plays hit. I was talking to Thomas Gable, who runs the Borgata in Atlantic City, and he said that Sunday was their best Sunday of the year with teams like Denver covering and teams like the Dallas Cowboys. And it seemed like every unpopular play came through. So that's the thing when you're a contrarian. You got to look at Philly plus six and say, ooh, they're terrible. But actually, no, they're so undervalued. That's the sort of play you learn to love. It may not win every time, it may not cover every time, and you may look like an idiot if Seattle wins by 14, but that's the kind of play that has a lot of value, and placing yourself on the side of the house long-term is really a profitable situation.
Okay, Kyler Murray with that shoulder, everybody saw him get injured in that game against the Seahawks. He is rehabbing his shoulder. We don't know his status yet. I think he'll play. He'll be okay. I mean, he powered through that situation that he had up there in Seattle. But people are concerned about Kyler Murray and the size of that player, right? And anytime a defensive lineman or anybody hits him hard or lands on top of him, he could go down at any moment. So you look at this game against the Patriots. The Patriots off a loss on the road to the Texans. What is the market telling you here, Josh Applebaum?
Yeah, so you know I'm a Pats fan here, Pritch. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was a very disappointing loss there to the Texans. That was another huge contrarian play that came through. A lot of people were on the Pats last week. This is actually a valuable situation to buy low on New England. And the reason why is, you know, you look at Arizona. They open around -2.5 this game. And really anytime, and this is a huge public play, everyone's taking Arizona. Patriots are dead. You know, the path to the playoffs is evaporating. Cardinals actually do have extra rest here, which is one thing you do like about Arizona. But this game, you know, it opened -2.5, Pritch, heavy betting Arizona. They're getting about 2/3 of bets here. But the books really don't want to go to -3, and that's what's intriguing to me. Anytime, you know, they're juicing up -2.5, -120. But for whatever reason, all this money and public action is coming in Arizona. Yet books are reluctant to go to 3. Anytime it goes to Arizona -3, it immediately gets bet back down because you have a lot of respect and money grab New England at +3. So this is the sort of game where Patriots look bad. Looks like Arizona's going to roll. But you do have concerns here with Kyler Murray. And to me, if you can jump on the Pats anytime they're 3 and it comes back down, I'm looking at the Patriots as a buy low home dog contrarian with a West Coast team going east for an early spot here.
Okay, and watching Bill Belichick in that game against the Texans, he is not happy with that defense at all. I mean, I know a lot of people are pointing their fingers at the Cam Newton situation, but that defense is in trouble as well.
I agree with you, Pritch. There's been a lot of criticism of Cam Newton, and I don't even think he played that poorly yesterday, or the other day. But to me, really, I agree with you, the defense. The defense, as Bart Scott said a long time ago, could not stop a nosebleed in that game. I mean, you had Deshaun Watson going up and down the field, and, you know, guys are getting falling down like flies left and right, and he's just thrown to the tight ends, thrown to the receivers. So that pass defense definitely has to get shored up. You know, you get Gilmore back, but, I don't know how much of a difference that made. So I agree with you. This is a bounce back spot with the Pats. You know, you think they're dead, but getting points at home, it doesn't happen very often under Belichick. I think maybe that's why the +3 is intriguing here to some sharps.
Look for that. But juiced right now, the 2.5 situation, looking for the 3 from Josh Applebaum. I have that noted. I've wrote that down twice and put a star by it. I love your market insight, Josh Applebaum. Up next in hour number 2, Wes Reynolds will join the program. Again, College Hoop Guide is out. Cannot wait to dive in that, talk about college basketball season, and also get out some great information. That's all coming up next in hour number 2 right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.